The government is being urged to pump money and resources into mental health services to counter what one medical professional has described as chronic underfunding. Some young people are waiting more than 4 months to be seen by a mental health specialist in the public system. Tonight, Checkpoint has also heard from a clinical psychologist who's been working on the front line and says staff burnout is a major problem. The Health Minister, Andrew Little, joins me now. Good evening, Minister.
Good evening.
So $1.9 billion, that's the headline figure being pumped into mental health. Some people that we've been speaking to say nothing's got better on the front line. Excruciating wait lists, huge stress, understaffing. Are you talking directly to these people about their experiences?
Yes, I am, on a regular basis. And the message I'm getting is actually things are improving. And we know that from the additional services that have been funded and rolled out. So in the access and choice stuff, which is the counselling available for mild to moderate health conditions, available through GPs and community health care, we know that there are literally thousands of people who have had the benefit of that service in the last 18 months. We have a four-year program that we're rolling out. We are, as at the end of December, 18 months into it. We'll be 2 years into it at the end of June. But it was a four-year program. One of the big challenges we've got is adding to the workforce, and that is going to take time.
So how many of the 40 recommendations in He Ara Oranga have been fully implemented?
Well, they won't have been fully implemented, as I just said.
Any of them?
The budget commitment was a four-year program. So we
Yes, but any of them, Minister, I understand that, but have any of them been fully implemented?
They've all been started because you've got to start, and when you have a four-year program, it's not completed. You get to the end of the 4 years.
So have you got a plan for implementation? I mean, is there actually a plan that people can read and make contributions to? And are you involving the sector in that?
Well, of the recommendations included a number of things, a lot of things, and including and adding additional services. One of the priority areas, the report said, was about those with mild to moderate mental health issues. So getting quick and ready access easy access to help with that. That's what we've done. That's what we've started funding, as I say. It's a four-year program to build up to it. We've started it. That's going well. We've also committed to upgrading or rebuilding acute mental health facilities, which have been degraded for so long. So of five projects that have been approved out of the $235 million allocated for that, four are now in the design and construction phase. So that stuff is getting underway. We have a plan for each element of the He Ara Oranga report. I think the bigger question
Where is that plan? Can people have access? Can they see it? Is it online? Because recommendations are one thing. A plan for implementation is totally different, isn't it?
So if you just let me finish up on your questions, I think we'll get there. So we are responding to the recommendations in the He Ara Oranga report. It is true that the outgoing Mental Health Commissioner has made the point about, in terms of the long-term plan, not fulfilling the recommendations, a long-term plan about mental health and a mental health strategy. That is not complete. That is being developed. The initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission made that point in their final report at the end of last year. That's an issue that would be picked up by the permanent Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. It is a priority for them, but it's a priority for the Ministry of Health to continue the work to engage with the sector to put that plan together.
So should young children be waiting significant number of months, 4 months, and one listener has texted us to say 12 months in Taranaki, to wait to see qualified mental health staff in the public system? The alternative being one clinical psychologist is said to pay $220 an hour for help. Other people have contacted us about eating disorder waiting times, saying that they literally have to be on death's door to get into those services. Should that be the case? Still?
No, it shouldn't be. And that was the very problem that that was identified, you know, back in the report a couple of years ago. That's why we put the extra money into it.
But it is still the case, Minister.
In doing the work. And you have to build a workforce. So creating a new clinical psychologist, creating a new psychiatrist, creating a new counsellor, that takes time to invest in people to take on that stuff. There's training we're doing with existing medically qualified people, nurses in particular, training them in mental health initiatives. But that still takes time. You have to make a start. And the problems that you identified, and indeed even the crises that were around 2 years ago, won't all have been alleviated in the 18 months that we've actually actually been putting money into the recommendations up to now.
So a lot of the things that we've just talked about are critical services, right? What about the focus in the report on prevention and going from a model of illness to wellness? What are you doing around that, promotion and prevention?
So of the $1.9 billion, nearly $900 million of that goes into other factors that are the determinants, the social determinants of mental health and well-being. So getting the employment right, the housing right, getting the, you know, the support for families right. So there's money going into that as well. There's investment going into that. That is part of the plan as well. It has to be.
Going into it, but has it gone into it? What material difference is there around prevention and promotion services right now?
Well, of the money, of the money that was going into that, the social determinants part of it, nearly $200 million has been spent on that part of it. So that stuff is, there is investment going into that. Should we expect it to, you know, all the problems to have been cured within 18 months, nearly 2 years of starting the program? No, it's not. Is it still urgent? Absolutely it is. And are people still, you know, struggling and suffering to get the help they need? Yes, they are. We've made the start. The work is underway. We still have got a ways to go, and we will, and it will still be the top priority for us to get that stuff done.
So what do you think the biggest problem is?
Well, we always knew the biggest problem was workforce. We have, you know, we had a workforce that was run down, diminished in numbers. We have to build that workforce up. We have to add to it, but you've got to do the training. And training in this whole sector, in the mental health sector, it is, you know, it's not sort of block courses, and it's not 6 month courses. These are multi-year courses, and we have to build that workforce up.
But if there was a greater investment earlier in the piece in prevention, then arguably you might not have as much pressure at the end of the system in critical care.
Yeah, I guess, look, if you look at the starting point, we knew when the government took office at the end of 2019 that mental health was in a parlous state. We knew that from getting around, or I knew that from community contacts for the years leading up to that. We did effectively a stock take. The Haora Oranga report was actually a stock take of just how bad is it? What do we need to be doing? We got the message. And then we made our decisions based on that, on a good informed decision to get money into it. But that's the start of a process to rebuild in a system that has been run down over many, many years. And yeah, I'd like it to move faster. I wish it could. But you've got to move at a pace that, you know, that people can actually do. People can learn. People can get their qualifications that we can develop and add to the new services. And that's what we're desperately trying to do.
How are you going to make sure that mental health transformation is not lost? Because we're living in a COVID world at the moment, and there are other major health reforms potentially coming down the pipeline. So how are you going to make sure and guarantee that this transformation of mental health services is not going to get lost in all of that?
Well, the money that we voted into it in 2019 is there, been voted for. It has to go into there. It's not going to be distracted or waylaid by anything else. I mean, COVID-19 is adding kind of new pressures and new issues in terms of our mental health services and treatment, new demands for people who are feeling isolated, people who are feeling anxious. And we've got to make sure that those services and treatment are there too. That's why, you know, we put on things like the 1737 phone service, and we started that, but that actually gets very busy because of COVID-19. So it's those sorts of things. We know that has to be there, but it won't. What we do in mental health won't be distracted by the rollout of the vaccination program for COVID-19 or other health reforms that we know we have to do.
So the recommendations in He Ara Oranga, does the buck stop with you? Are you the person that goes to Cabinet? Are you the person who agitates and pushes for all of these things to be implemented in a in the time frame? And if that doesn't happen, is that on you?
Yes, I get the reports on progress with He Ara Oranga, and I get the reports from the outgoing Mental Health Commissioner and the outgoing National Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. I have all those reports. I'm dealing weekly with Ministry of Health officials on the progress of implementing the decisions that have already been made.
So generally speaking, why has there been no reporting on the performance of mental health services for the last 2 years? As I understand it, there used to be that annual report that was by Dr. John Crawshaw. Why is there no reporting now?
Look, I don't have an answer to that question on that. I understand that there was to be a change in the nature of the reporting, but I'll have to clarify exactly why a particular report that used to come out is not no longer coming out.
Because the point around that and what professionals are telling us is no report, no baseline, no accountability. So where has it gone?
Well, I'm not sure that if one report hasn't come out, that means there's no reporting, no baseline, no accountability. The whole basis on which we made decisions, you know, where to put money as a result of Hayata Oranga is because we have data. We have data coming out our ears, we know what the problems are. We've made decisions on where money needs to go, where the investments have to happen, the number of people that, you know, extra positions that need to be trained up, what the services are that need to be in place that weren't there before, and all that work is happening.
Thanks for joining us. That is the Health Minister, Andrew Little.